This is Audible.
The Sweetest Oblivion by Danielle Laurie, performed by Stacey Gonzalez and Evan Rowan. Chapter 1. There's no such thing as good money or bad money. There's just money. Lucky Luciano. Long Island, New York. Elena. My home was picturesque. A red front door with a golden knocker, black and white checkered flooring, a wooden staircase with a lacquer shine and a sparkling chandelier. However, I'd always wondered if I pulled back a corner of the wallpaper, would it bleed red? If this world were as transparent as glass, soft splats would drip a pool to the marble floors. I stared at the TV in the corner of the kitchen, hardly processing the newscaster's voice, but when murder passed her ruby red lips, the word resounded in my mind. My throat tightened as I twisted the ring on my middle finger. While my home, my life, was built on piles of dirty money, I'd always been able to say I hadn't contributed to the balance. Not until earlier this year, that is. Now, blood was on my hands, and guilt watched me while I slept. Voices from the foyer drifted to my ears every time the swinging door opened, as our servants came in and out, preparing for lunch. A feminine trill of a laugh, my cousin Benito's lively timbre, and a voice I'd vaguely recognized as I left the church this morning. It was low, smooth, and indifferent. The hair on the back of my neck rose. I knew it belonged to my future brother-in-law. And it was partly, wholly, the reason I was hiding in the kitchen, though I would never admit it. "You are too beautiful for that frown, sweet Abeli," my mamma said as she entered the room with a cacophony of our guests' conversations following her. I shifted under the weight of her words. For obvious reasons, I hadn't heard that nickname in a while. I'd grown out of the name some, especially when I realized I was the girl adored for all the wrong reasons. I wasn't hard to look at. I was quiet when I should be, and polite when I wasn't. Like a childhood dress that didn't fit anymore, I was stuck in the world's expectations for me. It took years of feeling like a pretty bird in a cage until it all became too much, and I escaped.
"I don't know why you watch this, Elena," Mama said, stirring the sauce on the stove. "All that nonsense is depressing."
Mama was married to Salvatore Abeli, a high-profile boss of one of the biggest organized crime syndicates in the United States. Sometimes I wondered if the naivete was denial, or if she would truly rather watch Days of Our Lives than worry about my papa's affairs. "I'm not sure who to vote for in the election," I answered absently. She shook her head in disbelief, and I guessed it was odd for the daughter of a mob boss to care about the status of the government.
"Your papa isn't happy with you," she said, looking at me under her dark eyelashes with that pursed lips, you're in trouble expression.
When isn't papa unhappy with me lately?
What do you expect after what you did?
6 months had passed, and I swear she brought it up every day. She was like a dog with a bone, and I honestly thought she enjoyed the mistake I'd made because she finally had something to chastise me about.
"Why didn't you come meet the Russo after church today?"
She pointed her spoon at me.
"I'm not buying the act that you forgot and were waiting innocently in the car."
I crossed my arms. "I just didn't want to. He's rude."
"Elena," she scolded. "You don't even know him."
"You don't need to meet someone with his reputation to know his character, Mama."
"Oh, Madonna, salvami," she muttered. and he won't understand Adriana, I added tersely. She snorted.
Not many will understand your sister, filia mia.
The gardener did. But I wasn't going to share that with Mamma. Or by the end of the day, he'd be at the bottom of the Hudson. Earlier this week, Papa had announced that Adriana would be marrying Nicholas Russo, the don of one of the five families in New York. My past transgressions were still tender wounds. But with this news added to the list, it was like they'd been cut back open. I was the eldest sister. Therefore, it was my responsibility to marry first. But because of my mistake, my sister had been thrown under the bus, and to a man with a reputation. Everyone knew that when someone had a reputation in this world, it meant one thing: stay the hell away from them.
Besides, Nico is a perfect gentleman. If you would have met him this morning after church like you were supposed to, you would know that.
I'd strode right out of the church doors into the car before I could be corralled to meet my future brother-in-law. I was practically a pariah to my papa, so I was surprised he'd even noticed my absence. Besides, I was sure Nicolas Russo's gentleman act was nothing but smoke and mirrors. Since Nicolas's papa died 5 years ago, the 29-year-old and youngest sitting don became well-known in the underworld. Following in his father's footsteps, he was a cheat. He had more blood on his hands than the entirety of the New York State Penitentiary and was unremorseful about it all. At least I imagined he was unapologetic. The newscaster wouldn't have reported a new victim with the name Zanetti every morning for a year, the family Nicolas had once feuded with for killing his papa, if he'd felt at all guilty. He was going straight to hell with that attitude, if you asked me.
I did meet him, Mamma.
She raised a brow.
You did?
Well, no. Her expression darkened. But I shared a look with him, I insisted. And that was all I needed to see to know he wouldn't be good for Adriana. She rolled her eyes.
Ridiculo.
A glare and a look were the same things, right? It was an accident, really. It was as I was walking down the church steps that my gaze caught on the meeting I was supposed to be attending. Papa and Mamma stood on either side of Adriana and across from Nicolas Russo, and that was usually how a bride and groom met in this life. Arranged marriages were par for the course, in the Cosa Nostra. In annoyance at the entire situation, my eyes had narrowed slightly before glancing at my future brother-in-law, only to find he was already looking at me. That was how the glaring occurred, an accident, you see. But I could hardly convey that to the man, and if I had smiled, it would have come off condescending, so I just went with the glare and hoped it wouldn't get me killed. Nicolas's gaze had hardened a little to show he didn't like it. But after a second of heavy eye contact, he returned his attention to my papa like I was nothing but a leaf blowing by. I let out the breath I was holding and went to hide in the car. There was no way I was meeting him after that exchange. I'd just avoid him until the end of my days.
Stop worrying and trust your papa.
I made a hmm noise, because I'd overheard from my cousin Benito that the alliance was for collaboration on some weapons deal, nothing more. My sister was a pawn in some large-scale trafficking agreement. How romantic. Even so, we knew this day would come. I held no expectations for a marriage of love, and neither did Adriana. The problem was, my sister believed she was already in love. With the gardener.
Elena, go see if Adriana is ready for lunch.
She told me last night she wasn't coming. She's coming, Mamma snapped, followed by muttering in Italian. Reluctantly, I pushed off the counter and headed out of the kitchen. The newscaster's voice trailed me out the swinging door, and, like a warning, that word murder spilled from the red lips once more. On an evening in Roma, played from the antique record player as I headed toward the staircase and took in the guests in the foyer,
my papa's sister and her husband, a few male cousins, and my brother Tony, who was shooting an intense glare in Nicolas's direction. Tony leaned against the wall with his hands in his black suit pockets, alone. His girlfriend was an Italian and was rarely invited over. My mama disliked her just because she was dating her son. I loved my brother, but he was reckless, impulsive, and lived by the code, if I don't like it, then I'll fucking shoot it. And it looked like he wanted to shoot Nicolas Russo. There was some history between the two, and it wasn't the good kind. My gaze caught on a striking woman with interesting style. She stood next to a man who I assumed to be her grandfather, but then he slipped a hand onto her ass. She only pursed her lips, as if it was a mild annoyance. She wore a mink shawl in July over a thin olive green dress and thigh-high boots. Long dark hair fell in smooth waves, and her fake eyelashes and large hoop earrings made her look like an ad from the 70s. She blew a pink bubble and popped it, her eyes narrowing on me like I was the one whose style was four decades too late. If polar opposites were ever in the same room, it was her and me, undoubtedly. Almost home free with one hand on the banister, my father's voice sounded behind me. Elena, come here. My stomach dipped and I closed my eyes in defeat. But I only hesitated for a second, because that voice was non-negotiable. My hands grew clammy as I made my way to where my papa stood next to Nicolas. When I reached my father's side, he took my arm and gave me a smile, but it didn't reach his eyes. Papa looked 10 years younger than his 55, with small streaks of silver through his black hair. He was always in a suit, and you'd never find a wrinkle in it. But that gentleman look was just a facade. I'd first seen how he'd gotten his reputation when I was 7, through a crack in his office door.
Elena, this is Nicolas Russo. Nico, this is Elena, my eldest daughter.
I'd done this dance 100 times, just a different day, a different man. However, this time my breath was cut short, as though I was about to be pushed off a plank and into shark-infested water if I looked up at him. He's just a man, I reminded myself, a man with the worst reputation in New York State, easily. Why did I glare? Inhaling for courage, I tipped my head, as I was not able to see him under the brim of my hat. A warm rush of recognition ran down my spine as I met his heavy gaze, light brown eyes, the color of whiskey on ice, and thick dark lashes. It gave him a brooding expression, almost as if he was looking into the sun. Yet he was looking at me as though he was being introduced to one of the servants, and not someone he would call sister-in-law. I stood a few inches taller than Adriana, but even in my heels, the top of my head wouldn't hit his chin. I had the strong urge to avert my gaze and focus at eye level on his black tie, but it felt like he'd be winning something if I looked away, so I held his stare. My tone was as polite as it always was in company. It's a pleasure. We've already met. We what? His indifferent voice ran down my spine, with a strange thrill following in its wake. He'd hardly said anything, but it now felt like I was standing on Russo turf instead of Abeli, as if a 6-foot diameter space around him was claimed as Russo no matter where he stood. Papa frowned.
When did you two have the chance to meet?
I swallowed. Something amused and dangerous played in Nicolas's gaze.
Earlier at church. Remember, Elena?
My heartbeats collided with a crash. Why had my name rolled off his tongue like he was more than familiar with it? My papa stiffened beside me, and I knew why. He thought I'd done something inappropriate with this man, like his tone had suggested. Heat rushed to my cheeks. All because of one mistake I'd made 6 months ago, my papa thought I'd come on to my sister's fiancé? I blinked through my apprehension. This was due to a really short, not even hostile glare. This man had found out my weakness and was now playing with me. Frustration clawed at my chest. I couldn't very well go and make this situation worse by disagreeing with a don my father would most likely believe over me now. And so I forced my voice into the lightest tone I could muster. Yes, we've met, Papa. I forgot my jacket in the church and ran into him inside. I realized my mistake too late. It was July. I hadn't worn a jacket. And Nicolas knew that. He pulled a hand out of his pocket and ran a thumb across his bottom lip, giving his head a small shake. He looked impressed I had played along, but almost disappointed at what a poor job I'd done. I did not like this man, not at all. A cold whisper ran through my blood as my father looked between us like he was unsure.
Well, all right, Papa finally responded, patting my arm. That's good then. I'm sure Nico might have some questions for you about Adriana. You know her best.
My lungs expanded and I took in a breath. Yes, of course, Papa. I would rather eat a handful of dirt. The front door opened, and my mamma's brother and papa's consigliere, Marco, entered with his wife. My father said a parting word and went to greet them, and just left me with this man, whose presence was beginning to burn. He stared down at me. I stared up at him. As a corner of his lips lifted, I realized I was amusing him. My cheeks heated with annoyance. Before, I would have murmured something sweet and made my leave. But that was before. Now, I couldn't keep my expression polite as I met Nico's, whatever his name was, gaze. We have not met, I said firmly. He cocked a brow in a cavalier way. You sure?
Here I was under the impression you had me all figured out.
My heart fluttered so fast it couldn't be healthy. I had no idea what to say because he was right. This interaction wasn't doing anything to prove he wasn't who I thought he was all along, however. He smoothed an absent hand down his tie.
Do you know what assuming gets you?
Killed, I breathed. His eyes fell to my lips.
Smart girl.
The words were deep and soft, and a strange part of me felt like I'd done something good. My breaths turned shallow when he moved to walk past me, but stopped by my side. His arm touched mine. And it burned like the lightest licks of a flame. His voice brushed the side of my neck.
It's nice to meet you, Elena.
He said my name like he should have earlier, without any insinuation, like I was something he could check off his list before he walked away. I stood there staring ahead while absently returning a couple smiles to family members. So that was my future brother-in-law, the man my sister would marry. Maybe I was a horrible person, but some guilt drifted away and out the door another person just entered. Because I was suddenly glad it was her and not me. Chapter 2. Nothing personal, it's just business. Otto Berman. Elena. It was worse than I'd expected. Adriana was primly folding a blouse and placing it into a suitcase on her bed. She wore an oversized Tweety Bird t-shirt and Christmas socks, and wads of toilet paper lay scattered about the room. A few years ago, Adriana went through a rebellious stage and chopped her hair off into a pixie cut. I've never seen my mother more horrified. Adriana had lost her credit card and her acting classes at our all-girls school. And got glowered at every day for a month. It'd grown into a sleek bob, but by then I'd learned that cutting your hair was worse than murder in this house. With dark blue walls, white crown molding, and golden accents, Adriana's room would appear fit for a home staging, if it didn't look like a costume designer had thrown up in it. Posters from plays like The Great Gatsby hung on the walls. Weird stage props sat on the vanity, feathers, hats, and masquerade masks. Things that made your head hurt while trying to figure out their purpose, like the giant rabbit's head on the bed. I didn't believe Papa knew he was paying for every penny of Adriana's dramatic arts school stage props. But my father didn't concern himself with my sister too much. As long as she was where she was supposed to be, he was happy. He just didn't understand her, nor did she him. With a sigh, I grabbed the blouse from her suitcase and went to the walk-in closet to hang it back up. She ignored my presence, brushing shoulders with me as she passed with a pair of jeans. "What's with all the toilet paper?" I asked, sliding the shirt onto a hanger. She sniffled, but didn't respond. The last time I'd seen her cry was at our nono's funeral when she was 13. My little sister was one of the most unemotional people I'd ever met. In fact, I thought the idea of emotion repelled her. My stomach twisted with concern, but I knew Adriana appreciated pity as much as she loved chick flicks. She hated them. I grabbed the jeans from the suitcase and headed to the closet. "So, where are you going?" She passed me with a yellow polka dot bikini. "Cuba? Saudi Arabia, North Korea, pick one." We continued this dance of packing and unpacking like a human conveyor belt. My brows knitted. "Well, you didn't exactly give me a good list, but Saudi Arabia is out if you're planning on wearing this bathing suit." I folded it and put it away. "Have you met him?" she asked, walking past me with a zebra-printed robe. I knew she meant her future husband. I hesitated. "Yes, he's, real nice." "Where am I gonna fit all my props?" She threw her hands on her hips and stared into her small suitcase like she just realized it wasn't a Mary Poppins bag. "I think they're gonna have to stay here." Her face scrunched up like she was about to cry. "But I love my costumes." Tears were running now. "And what about Mr. Rabbit?" She grabbed the giant rabbit's head off the bed and held it next to her own. "Well, I'm not sure about North Korea's import policies, but I'm betting Mr. Rabbit won't pass." She threw herself on the bed and whined. "What about Cuba?" "Probably better chances." She nodded, like that was good. "I have an Alice in Wonderland production coming up." She wiped her cheeks, already finished crying. "Who are you playing?" I knew it wasn't Alice. My sister didn't like anything mainstream or blonde. "The Cheshire Cat," she smiled. "Yeah, that sounds like you." I went into the closet and found a thin-strapped black dress she could wear to lunch. It took a moment to find it because it was squeezed between a Legend of Zelda and Peter Pan costume. I set the dress on her bed. "You better get ready. Almost everyone is here." "Ryan broke up with me," she deadpanned. My expression softened. "I'm so sorry, Adriana." "He doesn't understand why I'm getting married and doesn't want to see me anymore. So he must not love me very much. Right, Elena?" She looked at me with big brown eyes. I paused. Explain rationality to my sister and ease her heartbreak a bit, or rip the Band-Aid off? "Right," she nodded. "I'll be down soon." I was downstairs, turning a corner in the hall near the library when I collided with something warm and solid. A breath escaped me as I was forced to step back. I knew who I'd run into before I had to look. Russo. Unease drifted through my body like a kindled flame. We were no longer in a foyer filled with people, but completely alone. It was so quiet I could hear my heart beating in my chest. I took another step back as if to get some footing, but it was mostly just to put myself out of his reach, some kind of survival instinct kicking in. He stood there in a gray suit and a smooth black tie. He was larger than life in this hallway. Or maybe this hall was just small? No, it looked like a normal-sized hallway. Ugh, get a grip, Elena. He regarded me like someone would watch Animal Planet. like I was another species and possibly dull entertainment. He had a cell phone in one hand at his side, so I assumed he must have been making a private call. This hallway was more of an alcove made of arches behind the staircase. Some large potted plants blocked our view from the main hall, and a green glass lamp on a side table cast the area in dim light. However, it was bright enough to see the flicker of impatience behind his gaze.
You going to stand here and stare at me all day, or are you going to move?
I blinked. And if I say stand here and stare at you? It was out of my mouth before I could stop it, and I instantly wished I could reach out and take my words back. I'd never spoken to someone like that, let alone a boss, in my life. My stomach dipped like a tilt-a-whirl. With the phone in his hand, a thumb came up to run across his jaw. I imagined he did that while thinking of how he was going to kill a man. He took a small step forward. As if we were the same poles of a magnet, I took one back. He dropped his hand to his side, the slightest bit of amusement coming to life in his eyes as if I'd just done a trick that entertained him. I suddenly had the distinct feeling I didn't want to be his entertainment, and an even stronger feeling that I already was.
Thought the sweet Abeli was sweet.
How did he know my nickname? I didn't know what came over me, but I suddenly felt free of that name. Maybe because he'd never met that girl before. I wanted to be someone different, especially to him, for some inexplicable reason. Well, I guess we were both fooled then. Here I was thinking a gentleman apologized after running into a woman.
Sounds like someone's been making assumptions again, he drawled.
An odd thumping began in my chest and I shook my head. It wasn't an assumption. He took a step forward, and once again, I took one back. He slipped his hands into his pockets as his gaze fell down my body. It was hardly leering and more observant, like I was, in fact, another species, and he was wondering if I was edible. His eyes narrowed on my pink heels.
You think you've got some proof, huh?
I nodded, feeling strangely breathless under his scrutiny. My mama said you acted the perfect gentleman at church.
I did act the perfect gentleman.
So it's a matter of if you want to be one? He didn't say a word, but his neutral expression confirmed it as his stare traveled back up from my heels. And I'm guessing you don't want to be one right now? I realized I shouldn't have said it as I was saying it. His heavy gaze reached mine, burning me. He gave his head a slow shake.
Okay.
I'd stood my ground long enough, much longer than the sweet Abeli ever would. But now, I just needed to get the heck out of here. Okay, well, I'll see you around. I couldn't think of a less idiotic response. So I only took a step to go around him, but before I could, something grabbed my wrist. He grabbed my wrist. His grip felt like a band of fire, rough, calloused fire. A cool breath of fear mixed with something boiling hot leaked into my bloodstream. He stood a couple feet from me, his grip the only thing connecting us.
Write up a list of your sister's hobbies. Likes and dislikes, shoe size, dress size, and anything else you think will be useful, yeah?
Yeah, I breathed. How many men had he killed with the hand wrapped around my wrist? It wasn't a hard grip, but it was heavy, firm, immovable. It made me aware of how much smaller I was, how unnerved and out of place I felt, how I couldn't leave unless he chose to release me. He watched me with an inquisitive gaze. My heart felt close to stopping and my skin was burning up. It was inappropriate for him to touch me. Future brother-in-law or not, my papa could come out of his office any moment. But this man didn't seem to care. I did, though, especially after the scene earlier. I'll give the list to you on Friday at the engagement party, I managed to say and tried to pull my wrist away. He didn't let me go. My pulse fluttered when his thumb brushed my knuckles. I was under the impression the Abellis could afford more than a 50-cent ring. I glanced at the ring on my middle finger. It came from one of those vending machines and had a purple round-cut jewel in the center. The thought of it sobered me. Sometimes the cheapest things are the most valuable. His gaze came back to my face, and we looked at each other for a moment. His grip slipped down my wrist, palm, fingers. The rough pads of his fingertips brushed my softer ones and made my heart skip a beat. "I'll see you at lunch, Elena." He left, disappearing into my papa's office.
Cazzo.
Leaning against the wall, the ring was a heavy weight on my finger. I could take it off, put it somewhere it couldn't haunt me, but I knew I never would. Not yet. His grip still burned like a brand on my wrist as I left the hallway. Once again, he'd said my name in the most inappropriate way. Chapter 3. Murders came with smiles. Shooting people was no big deal for us good fellas. Henry Hill. Elena. Billie Holiday played softly from the old pool radio. Condensation dripped down crystal glasses, and silverware glinted in the bright sunlight. It was a hot July afternoon, but the steady breeze was the perfect interlude. Lights wound round the wooden slats of the patio cover, and my mama's rose bushes were flourishing. The chairs were soft and the food was good, but it could only be so comfortable having lunch with a bunch of strangers. However, the 70s ad sitting across from me didn't seem to share the same opinion. Anyway, the cop let me go, and he didn't even take my Coke.
Gianna.
The word was a low warning from Nicolas's spot at the table. She rolled her eyes and took a deep drink of wine, but she spoke no more. I wondered why Nicolas had chastised her and what their relationship was. Siblings? They did appear to find each other annoying, but I was sure I'd heard somewhere that Nicolas was an only child. Gianna's senior citizen of a husband sitting next to her hadn't said a word, except for some oddly timed chuckling. I was beginning to think he was hard of hearing. Gianna was my polar opposite. Where I was quiet, she spoke with abandon and laughed loudly. Where I was demure, well, she'd stuck her gum to her cloth napkin before eating her pasta without twirling it around the fork. I was a little jealous of her carefree approach to life. Tony sat on her other side. He leaned back in his chair with his jacket unbuttoned. He looked bored, but I knew him better than that. I'd seen that smug way he scratched the scruff on his jaw like he was angry and amused at the same time. And that never meant anything good. He was handsome, but if I wasn't his sister, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. His recklessness was dangerous for anyone involved, especially himself. He caught my uneasy look and shot me a wink. Low chatter and the scraping of silverware filled the yard. But beneath that lay a tense air that wouldn't dissipate, an uncomfortable vibe the breeze wouldn't take with it. Everyone seemed to be easily chatting amongst themselves, so maybe it was just me. I brushed it off. Gianna didn't stay quiet for long, though she no longer spoke about 8 balls of Coke. She changed the subject to horse racing. That was an acceptable conversation many joined in on. It wasn't like this was a drug-free zone. In fact, many people came through this house on a daily basis with drugs on them. But out in the open, it was Cosa Nostra etiquette to pretend we were the classic example of a white picket fence family, even if our homes were surrounded by an iron gate and security instead. I was happy to see that Adriana had shown up instead of boarding a plane to Cuba. She sat next to her fiancé and papa at the other end of the table. Maybe I was a coward, but I was glad I didn't have to sit near Nicolas. I was the perfect hostess and had a polite response for anything, as inappropriate as the comments could sometimes be when people were drinking. But with him, words were at a loss for me. I felt tongue-tied around him, tilted off my point of gravity, and truthfully, just hot, as though a blush permanently warmed my skin. It might be unpleasant speaking to him, but it was too easy to look in his direction. If not for his size, he could easily fit Adriana's pretty boy preferences when he had a sober expression on his face. He was tan, his hair was almost black, and I couldn't help but notice that his biceps were defined through his shirt. My future brother-in-law was even more handsome beneath the bright sun. It was unfortunate his personality didn't match. What I found the most intriguing about his appearance, however, was the dark ink that showed through his white dress shirt. It was vague, but I thought it went all the way from his shoulder to the gold watch on his wrist. Nicolas Russo had a full sleeve. I knew that gentleman look was all smoke and mirrors. He glanced over and met my gaze as if he'd felt me observing him. From five chairs down, the impact of an indifferent stare still found a way to touch my skin. The way he shouldn't have said my name played on a loop, deep and suggestive in my head. Just so I didn't look like a coward, I held his gaze for a breathless second before looking away. I had the sudden feeling that, for my future health, I shouldn't interact with this man anymore.
I hear you have a recital coming up, Elena, my uncle Manuel said from a few seats down.
His voice had become nothing but a memory of bloodshed, due to the part he played 6 months ago. I drank a sip of wine, tasting nothing but guilt and resentment. Every pair of eyes shifted to me, all 20 of them, but I was only aware of one of them. Yes, I forced a smile. Saturday.
You dance? Gianna asked. How fun! I've done some dancing, but...
Her voice lowered. We're probably talking about two different things. My eyes twinkled. Tap, you mean? Her laugh was light and airy. Yes, definitely tap. Have you always danced?
Yes, since I was a child.
Are you any good? I laughed at the forward question. Truthfully, no. My mama muttered something in disagreement from down the table. She had to disagree. It was part of being a mother. But I was mediocre at dance, and I didn't have a problem acknowledging it. It was something to do, something to fill the monotonous time. I used to love it as a child, but now it was just a sleeve of the dress that didn't fit. Conversation quieted, and Gianna pushed her broccoli around on her plate like she was seven and didn't like vegetables. Her husband chuckled at absolutely nothing. She rolled her eyes and took a large gulp of wine. Lunch continued with meaningless chatter, good food and drink. But the tension never dissipated. It sat there uninterrupted, like an echo before the words were even spoken. My brother leaned back in his chair, a ring sounding as he ran his finger around his wine glass. Adriana ate as though a large man she didn't know and was marrying in 3 weeks wasn't sitting next to her. Papa mentioned he'd bought an old shooting range, and conversation on that drifted down the table like a domino effect. They'd just served tiramisu for dessert, and I was ready for this lunch to end. But unfortunately, that uncomfortable tension was about to twist its way out of the realm of the inevitable and into reality. It began with an innocent suggestion between the men to visit the range. And then I watched it play out like a bad dream. The Russo sitting to the left of me grunted sardonically. I'd learned his name was Stefan, though he'd hardly said more than a word. The ring from my brother's wine glass faded off. Tony's dark gaze centered on the man.
Don't think I caught the joke, Russo.
Stefan shook his head.
Just got better things to do than watch a bunch of abellis miss targets.
Uh-oh, Gianna said under her breath. I closed my eyes. The day my brother let this go without a fight would be the day the sky fell. Tony, don't. Benito warned from his seat beside my brother. He was always the voice of reason in that duo. But Tony didn't even glance at his cousin. Instead, he smiled at Stefan Russo. And it wasn't nice at all. My chest tightened, and I looked down the table to get Papa's attention. But he was in conversation with Nicolas and my uncles.
Not sure what you're talking about, Tony drawled. I didn't miss... What was his name? Ah, yes. Piero.
My brother's eyes flickered with dark enjoyment.
Hit the bullseye on that one.
Tony's amusement faded into a deathly quiet that even the family and guests at the head of the table noticed. Everything went static, like a photo in a magazine. I never saw it coming. My pulse leaped into my throat as an arm clamped around my waist, pulling me to my feet. My head was forced to the side as a cold barrel pressed against my temple. Shouting rang out in Italian. Chairs fell backward to the patio as everyone jumped to their feet. Guns rose in every direction. I heard my papa ordering commands, but my heart drowned out his voice, ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. The beat resounded beneath a cold sheen of fear. I hadn't lived a picturesque life, no matter what my red front door and golden knocker conveyed. I'd seen my papa cut off a man's finger when I was 7. I'd watched my uncle shoot a man in the head, his face sideways on the bloodstained carpet, eyes open. I'd seen knife wounds, bullet wounds, so much red. But through all that, I'd never had a gun pressed to my head, never felt cold metal against my temple. Never felt as if my life could be gone just like that. The cold in my veins froze to ice. Nicolas's voice cut through the drumming of blood in my ears. It was low and smooth, and I grabbed onto it like a life raft.
Put it down, Stefan. He's the one who killed Piero.
The barrel shook against my head, and my lungs constricted, but I didn't move a muscle as I stared at the hedges lining the iron fence.
Tony!
My papa snapped.
Don't!
I glanced at my brother only to find myself staring at the end of a barrel. He was going to shoot the Russo behind me, but with my heels on, the man didn't have much height on me.
You're a poor fucking shot, Tony. We all know you'll hit the favored little Abelli.
Stefan's heated voice vibrated against my back.
Put it down.
Nicolas's words carried a calmness with a hint of animosity, like the ocean before a storm. 1 second. 2 seconds. Stefan was hesitating.
Bang!
Something warm and wet hit my face. My ears rang as the voices around me sank underwater. The man's arm fell from me, and a dull thunk sounded as he hit the ground. The newscaster's voice replayed in my mind. Murder spilling from red lips again and again. Numbness flooded me. Sounds rushed in, pulled out of water with heavy chains dripping wet.
Sit the fuck down, now!
My father's voice rang out.
We're going to finish this lunch, goddammit!
It took a moment for his words to process and to realize that everyone sat stiffly in their chairs but him and Nicolas. My future brother-in-law's heavy, unreadable gaze touched my skin as I stared at the gun in one of his hands.
Elena, sit, Papa snapped.
I dropped into my chair. The warmth of blood dripped down my cheek. Red had splattered across my chair and part of the white tablecloth. A dead Russo's feet touched my own. I sat there, pulling my gaze from a staring Gianna to Tony, who ate his dessert with relish.
Elena.
The small warning came from my papa, and because I was told to, I put a forkful of tiramisu in my mouth and chewed. Placing my hand on the back of my hat, I glanced up at the clear blue sky. Circumstances aside, it really was a beautiful day.
Chapter 4. This thing of darkness, I acknowledge mine. William Shakespeare. Nico. The gunshot echoed in the air, and the tension was louder than silverware against porcelain plates. The Abellis cast me cautious glances, while my family kept their eyes downcast on their desserts, stiffer than the chairs they sat on. Leaning back, I rested a forearm on the table and focused my gaze on the cigarette I rolled between my fingers. The anger was strong enough I had to choke it down. It burned in my throat, in my chest, and marred my vision with a red mist. My eyes skimmed up an inch to find Luca, my underboss and only reliable cousin, wiping a hand across his mouth in a poor attempt to hide his amusement. My gaze darkened, conveying I might just go for shooting two cousins today. He sat back in his chair, his humor fading. He'd just won a bet that we couldn't get away without any altercations today, and won double because anything involving the sweet Abelli had been a bonus. My family gambled on everything. Everything. Any possible chance to gain a buck, they exploited it. I owed him $5,000, and I was putting the blame on a little black-haired prima donna, because if I thought about her brother right now, I'd end up putting a bullet in his goddamn head. There are some relatives you don't like, ones you might shoot on your own terms if given the chance. But being forced into it, that rubbed me the wrong way, like the lash of a horsewhip. My jaw tightened as venom crawled through my veins. My papa had a fondness for kicking me in the ribs when I acted without thinking. My mama used to smoke at the kitchen table in her nightgown after she and my father would scream the house down. With my ribs burning and the cigarette in my hand, it wasn't lost on me that the apple really doesn't fall that fucking far from the tree. And I'd guess that those who'd known Antonio Russo, even my own family, would be hesitant to think of that as anything but unfortunate. I was a mold my father and the Cosa Nostra created, as bad a combo as a barrel of gunpowder and a little flame. Where my papa had lacked in my rearing, my mama tried to fill in the cracks. She tried, through dilated pupils and frequent bloody noses. The late Caterina Russo did her best to teach her only child to respect women. Truthfully, it had never really stuck. It was hard to respect a mama you had to pick up off the floor some nights. Not to mention, most things I'd wanted were handed to me since I was old enough to ask for them. I didn't need charm and respect to get women. My impending wealth and position had done that for me since I was 13 years old. Luca's mama was the first to man up and shoot me the tiniest scowl. My family could be as pissed as they wanted, but I'd appreciate at least one fucking thank you for stopping a bloodbath from ruining a perfectly good Sunday. Jesus, it was just Stefan anyway. Nobody liked Stefan. The truth was, not every man could handle being a Russo. My nonna used to say our blood ran hotter than most. Though, maybe that had just been an excuse to justify why all of her male offspring were entitled, greedy, and possessive of things that weren't theirs. A Russo wanted what he wanted, and once he did, it was practically his, most likely through a variety of illegal ventures. But maybe she was onto something, because it fucking felt hotter than it should. I'll Be Seeing You by Billie Holiday filled the spacious backyard, the soft piano notes invading a tense atmosphere full of clearing throats and shifting gazes. I rolled the cigarette between my fingers, trying to quell the itch. I only smoked when I was too pissed off to see straight, or, on the rare occasion, unsettled. Salvatore left the table to send the servants home. They all knew who employed them and were connected to the Cosa Nostra in some way, but it was a sure bet the dead man lying on the patio, his blood running through the divots in the bricks, was too much for some of them. I'd only caught part of the conversation that set this in motion, but it was clear Tony had been gloating over killing Piero, another idiotic cousin of mine. I hadn't known Tony was the one to do it, but I was hardly surprised, hardly moved either. I'd addressed Piero's death like I would a Zanetti's, with two fingers of whiskey. You do stupid shit, you get killed. That's how the world works, and my cousin had done more than enough. In all honesty, I thought Stefan was going to put the gun down, but at that point, I hadn't cared. A flash of anger had pulsed in my chest from my cousin's disrespect, and, oddly enough, burned even hotter at the fact he was threatening the sweet Abeli. The annoying feeling rushed over me that only I could threaten her. So I fucking shot him and watched the blood splatter against Elena's white dress. Tony had had a hard-on for seeing me dead ever since his friend Joe Zanetti saw the end of my 45 enough years ago I thought it was irrelevant now. I'd assumed Tony and I would have some issues, but I'd underestimated what a fucking idiot he was in that he'd bring them to lunch. I guess the idea that I'd be fucking his sister was chafing him a bit more than my usual presence would. I tapped my cigarette on the table, and before I could stop myself, I glanced to where the sweet Abeli sat. My eyes narrowed. I'd only owe Luca 25 if it weren't for her. Blood dripped down her olive skin, yet she ate her dessert because her papa had told her to. I wasn't usually a sadist, but Jesus, it was kind of hot. A reluctant rush of heat ran to my groin. Talking about sadists, my gaze found my cousin Lorenzo a couple seats down. He was staring at the girl like it was his job, and not any job I'd given him, because he was good at turning those to shit, but like a vocation or something. You'd never know by looking at the man, nor talking to him, but the bastard had an inclination for S&M. Knowing that, and watching him stare at Elena Abeli, a sliver of irritation ran through me. She probably liked it sweet and vanilla. Probably preferred the man to get on his knees and beg a bit. Lorenzo would. I'd rather shut my dick in a car door. She'd glared at me at church today, and I'd wondered what the sweet Abeli could have against me. I'd known the nickname before I even met the girl. It was an innocent pet name that became well known, well, among men, because not only was she sweet, she had the sweetest body around. I'd heard more about this girl's ass in the past couple years than I ever needed to, and truthfully, I'd grown sick of it. When something was overhyped, it was always a letdown. I guess the joke was on me, because this was not one of those times. I had always tuned out of conversation when she came up. I'd never seen her, but when my idiot cousins would waste time talking about the same pussy like it was what I paid them to do, it was an annoyance. Her name had become an irritation, like some kind of Pavlovian conditioning. So, when her papa had told me she was unfit for marriage, I hadn't even asked why. I'd signed the contract for the other one. Then I saw her at church. Son of a bitch. My cousins would check out any woman under 50. Any woman, if she had just one decent attribute. So, of course, I had never believed the hype. Talk about a man's wet dream. Her body? Fucking centerfold worthy. Her hair was a weakness of mine. Black, silky, and long enough I could wrap it around my fist twice. The thought had flitted through my mind unwillingly. And at church, Jesus. It was the soft, innocent expression of hers, though, that seemed to burn through my skin and straight to my dick. It was so damn sweet. And I knew that's where her little nickname had come from. Couldn't be from Little Miss Glare's personality. I'd observed her from the back of the church for far longer than I should have. I'd watched as she gave the same smile to every man in the congregation who came up to her, like it was a cue to see Her Majesty. I was 6'3", hardly inconspicuous, but she wouldn't notice me for another 30 minutes, at which time she would glare at me. The sweet Abeli was sweet to everyone but me. I could have laughed if, for reasons unknown to me, it didn't piss me off. It was the first time since I'd become boss that anyone had blatantly disrespected me. Maybe it was juvenile, but I wanted Elena Abeli to know I didn't care for her much either. No woman with that much male attention could ever be anything but stuck up and shallow. By her pink designer heels, I could see she liked to spend her papa's money. Her sister was wearing flip-flops. I'd probably save millions of dollars by marrying her instead. Adriana was a little strange, but attractive. If you took her away from her sister, she was stunning. If she stood next to Elena, she'd blend into the wallpaper. This scenario worked for me just fine. I'd rather not have a wife all my cousins were jerking off to. It wasn't like I cared much about who I married. It was time to take a wife, and in my world, that meant profits. Salvatore had a little dispute with some Mexicans that was starting to grow into a problem. He'd grown soft in his old age. After the wedding, I'd help him find the root of the issue and deal with it the way I'd been taught, with a bullet through the head. This alliance was making me millions richer, not to mention it would allow me control of most of the city. A wave of awareness ran down my spine when Elena's gaze settled on me from across the table. It was a warm and annoying consciousness on the side of my face. I was going to ignore it, but I found myself glancing at her anyway. The back of my neck itched, but I held her stare until she looked away. After her glare at church, I'd taken it upon myself to find out why she was unfit for marriage. Turns out, the sweet Abelli ran away, got sweet with some man. I knew her lack of virginity wasn't the reason Salvatore hadn't offered her to me. It was only an excuse. Salvatore didn't want me to have her, though I could hardly blame him. If I were him, I wouldn't give my daughter to me either. It was easy to understand why Salvatore had little trouble offering his other one. Adriana sat beside me in a black dress, one leg crossed over the other. Her brown, shoulder-length hair covered her face as she leaned forward and doodled something on her palm with a pen. I hadn't said a word to her since she'd shown up to the table late. To be honest, I'd almost forgotten she was sitting here. I guessed it was time to get to know my future wife. "What are you drawing?" Adriana hesitated, but then turned her little palm around and showed me. A rabbit. It wasn't a question, because that's what it fucking was. She pursed her lips and pulled her hand away to continue. "Mr. Rabbit," she corrected, in a tone that would have normally pissed me off. But I was already at my limit, so I shrugged it off and planned exactly what I was going to do to her brother. "Right or left?" Tony's jaw ticked, but he didn't say a word, just sat in the chair across from his papa's desk, like he was at a board meeting. Blood dripped from his lip onto his white dress shirt, though he still wore a darkly entertained expression. So I hit him. Again. A burn traveled through my cracked knuckles. His teeth clenched, but he took it without a sound. Tony was one of those men who were so high on their own shit they couldn't feel pain. He'd fucking feel something before I left this room. Rays of sun shone through the blinds into Salvatore's office, lighting dust particles in the air. All the guests had filed out, and it was safe to say this lunch was a failure, which only meant more lunches and parties I'd have to attend. None of the families wanted to risk acquainting everyone at such a large event, because shit like today could happen. It could escalate into a bloodbath with women and children present. Luca stood in front of the door, his cold eyes focused on the back of Tony's head. Benito and another of his younger cousins, who was close to Adriana's age, leaned against the wall with their arms crossed, while Salvatore sat behind his desk with a contrite expression. I could start a war for Piero's death if I wanted, which was probably why Salvatore was going along with this. That, and the fact that his daughter's life had been threatened due to his son's stupidity. "You fucked up, son," Salvatore said, clasping his hands on the wooden desk. "I warned you, and you went and caused trouble anyway. If something would have happened to Elena, you'd be floating in the Hudson. You should feel lucky." "Lucky," Tony mocked. He ran a hand across his jaw before saying, "Left." Satisfaction filled my chest. Right it is.
Chapter 5. There are three sides to every story. Mine, yours, and the truth. Joe Messino. Elena. I padded down the carpeted hall to the distant beat of the Misfits leaking from under my sister's door. As soon as I entered my room, I left a trail of clothes to the bathroom. Bypassing the mirror, I turned the shower on hot and climbed in. It burned. Something had to wash this memory away. Today took me back to 6 months ago. It was the last day I'd had someone else's blood splattered against my face. The hot water spilled from the faucet, matting my hair to my face and shoulders. I imagined it was paint, the red running down my body and swirling into the drain. If only guilt was so easy to get rid of. I closed my eyes. Shouting. Cold barrel against my temple. 1 second, 2 seconds. Hesitation. Bang. My eyes flew open. That gunshot hadn't been in my mind. The back of my neck prickled. Hopefully, it was only Tony shooting another one of Nona's vases. But until now, I hadn't thought of the consequences Tony might face after the trouble he caused. I hopped out of the shower and dried off as fast as I could, leaving my hair wet and uncombed. I threw on a t-shirt and shorts before running down the stairs. The marble floor was cold against my feet as I took the turn toward my papa's office, and once again, I collided with something solid. A lungful of air escaped me. I'd been going so fast I would have fallen to my butt on the floor, but an arm wrapped around my waist and steadied me as I teetered backward. It was an incredibly warm and heavy arm. Jesus, Nicholas muttered with annoyance. My stomach tightened as it pressed against his. The contact made me tingle everywhere, but I didn't have time to analyze the feeling more. I was spun out of his way and left to watch Nicholas's back as he continued down the hall. His underboss's cold indifference touched me as he passed, and I was suddenly and surprisingly glad I'd run into Nicholas instead. A burning sensation remained around my waist, and my heartbeat fluttered from the impact and the worry creeping in. Did you kill my brother? Should have, was all Nicholas said before the front door shut behind the two men. I inhaled in relief, but it turned out to be short-lived when Tony left my papa's office and swayed down the hall like he was drunk. He was bare-chested, and his dress shirt was wrapped around his hand. Blood dripped bright red to the marble floors. My brother was tall, slightly brawny, and covered in scars, from the two bullet wounds to an innumerable amount of others that I could only guess the cause. Probably from the illegal fights I knew he participated in. Tony didn't say a word as he passed, but I followed him into the kitchen. With the swinging door pressed against my back, I watched him grab a bottle of whiskey from the cupboard and struggled to open it with one hand. He eventually managed by holding it against his chest and twisting. He took a long pull before sitting at the island. Go away, Elena. You need to see Vito. He was the vicar at church, but also had medical experience to patch up wounds. It was the Lord's work, after all. I'm fine. He took another pull on the bottle, spilling some down his bare chest. He wasn't fine. He was smearing blood across the countertop. And he'd appeared drunk before he started drinking, like someone had just broken his heart. I'll call Vito. I went for the cordless phone near the fridge. Tony glanced at me with a remorseful expression. I'm sorry, Elena. Didn't know it'd go that way. Honest. My heart squeezed. I forgive you. He laughed weakly. You shouldn't. Tony usually had a smug look on his face, but when he smiled, a real smile, it drifted away and he became pretty charming. This was the brother I loved, even if I didn't get to see him often. Sometimes it felt like you needed to be the worst you could be to survive in this world.